Hey everybody, welcome to TikTok, the podcast in which we rate and review smut recommended by TikTok. I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
And I'm Emily.
And today we read Anastasia by Sophie Lark.
In this epic fantasy retelling of the end of imperialist Russia, Anastasia is the fourth princess, the fourth daughter of the Tsar. And in the early 1900s, what they really wanted was a son. And they got one, Alexei. But he is sickly and not expected to do well. Anastasia is the only one lacking a magical gift. Until she sneaks away on the train to follow Alexei. Because why does the little brother get to go places she can't go? She sneaks away to the war front with the Cossack rebels. And upon making eye contact with a young rebel, everything changes. He tries to assassinate her father, fails thanks to Anastasia's power manifesting, and is taken back to St. Petersburg to be a ward of the family. Over the years, their love-hate friendship blossoms, their magic blossoms. A black monk named Rasputin enters the picture and becomes a valued member of the royal household, keeping Alexei healthy for as long as he can, until everything falls apart. But Anastasia's power has only grown, and only she can do something to perhaps alter the terrible tragedy that befalls the imperial family.
Hottest scene. Go.
Their first kiss.
Their first kiss.
That was like
stopping time first is so beautiful.
Jumping off their horses, running across the field to each other.
Hands down. It was sweet.
Yeah. And that was what, like 75% of the way through
this 800 page book? Yes. Yes, it was. But they'd been bouncing some serious eye beams at each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it smut.
Oh. No.
Yeah, it was a good book, for sure. Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed it, but this is dick talk.
There were sex scenes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But, for a good half the book, Anastasia is a child.
Yeah. The core problem of writing a book about Anastasia. Yeah. Is like, she has a child.
Before we dive in, if this book sounds like something you'd like to read, heads up that our podcast is full of spoilers. If you have read the book or are reading along with us, we would love to hear from you. Email us at dicktalkthepodcast@gmail.com or find us on Instagram or TikTok at dicktalkpod, DikTokPod.
It might have been cheating a little bit to read a Sophie Lark book because Sophie Lark and C.S. Nescost are like, we're going to like it.
Yep.
We're going to like it. They're really good.
Yep.
There's no hot tags. Oh, and the foreshadowing was great. Wow, she's just as good at writing fight scenes as she is writing fuck scenes.
We already been new.
This is not sponsored content, by the way. We just really like her.
We just really like her. Sorry about it. All of my written notes on this book are just names. There's so many characters.
There are so many.
There's not a fucking thought on this page.
Imperial Russia was a happening place.
Yeah, and for my second read, I was doing a little bit of research every time I had a question about a character. Because aside from the movie and Rasputin's death and the girl's death, I don't know much about, I don't fucking care. Sorry, Russia. And so it was really interesting looking at these characters and like the real people that they're based on. Not the princesses, obviously, but like Sylvie.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, cool. That's cool history.
Oh. So are most of them based on real people?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Some of them, the x-rays were just like the first sentence that they're mentioned in, and then some of them were like a full paragraph about it. And I think Felix was one of those, and he was one of the guys that tried to assassinate Rasputin, like in that group.
Mm.
Hot.
Yeah, I know. Jokes on him, though, in the book.
Mm. That was rough, man.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a time that we've seen Sophie Lark do female relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Like friendships before. But all of these sisters stood out in 3D with some very real relationships with each other.
They did.
Damn. Yeah.
Very well, well written.
It was a little bit confusing at first. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are that many sisters and cousins. Like, we had to meet them all. They're all close. And they did become really well fleshed out really fast.
Yeah. I was a little bit worried that I wasn't familiar enough with the history when I first started this to be able to thoroughly enjoy this book.
Same. Especially when you mix in their nicknames with their full Russian names.
And all of the servants.
Yes.
And all the side characters. I was like, ah!
Damien's family.
And they're all named Nick.
Of course. Yeah.
And Alex.
I don't think I saw the cartoon as a kid.
Wild.
So most of my knowledge of this was coming from The Great, which is totally anachronistic, not real at all. Has Rasputin appearing then when, of course, really he wasn't around till later. So I just went in this, no knowledge.
And came out with
lots of misinformation.
Yep.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Rasputin, because
sexy, sexy Rasputin.
According to some,
they yassified my boy, and I will accept all other historical inaccuracies. I get it; it's fine. I don't care. Except they made Rasputin clean shaven. This is Bolshevik.
Also, how smelly he was not mentioned at all.
No.
And historically, he was kind of gross.
Yeah. Now, we do know that also historically, he was laying pipe.
Is that a euphemism?
Oh, he's got a dick on him.
Mm.
It is known.
Yes.
I defer to the elder Rasputin
scholar.
He's
got that $5 foot long, if you will.
Aren't there rumors that his penis is still, like, in a museum or something?
Yeah.
I believe so.
I hope that's true.
Before he betrays the family, I was like, okay, she's getting magic lessons from him in his tower. He's hot. Are they gonna fuck? And they didn't, but
if this was a actual smutty book, they probably would have.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, there was some tension there.
That makes my skin crawl, actually.
It would have been awful.
Yeah, for sure. But don't you think if anyone could have made it work...
Yep,
it
Sophie
was
Lark.
Sophie Lark. Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody with tits he's not fucking? Just Mama.
I don't know, man. My first highlight is about Rasputin.
Surprising us all.
I know.
Rasputin doesn't come in to like 25% of the book.
Right. But first chapter, first sentence, so after the prologue. There was a new mystic in St. Petersburg. People said he could tell your future in a cloud of smoke and read the whole of your past in a drop of blood from your finger. And I just wrote real Theranos shit. Can tell if you have cancer or anything from just one drop of your blood. Oh my God. One part where Tatiana and Anastasia are talking about Rasputin and his healing. And you wouldn't believe how the women at court whisper about him. Princess Lena went to see him for hysterical fits. She said he had her lay down on a sofa and take deep breaths while he chanted and put his hands on her body. It made her climax so hard she passed out. Good for her.
Read the next one. Read the next line.
I laughed. Did it solve the fits? Tatiana snorted. As long as her husband allows the treatments to continue, I'm sure she'll be very well behaved.
Boom.
Fucking Dale and Nancy Gribble shit. And John Redcorn.
The future reading scene at the party at his introduction was fantastic.
It was.
And I really loved during my second read piecing it together with what's already happened. And Anastasia through the book piecing it together with her realization that she can kind of tell futures. Like, it's not her strength, but she's in so much denial it doesn't matter.
Yay!
She could have saved herself. She could have saved everyone so many times.
Yep.
The truth is a blade that only cuts a liar. And the most dangerous lies are the ones you tell yourself.
I liked that line.
Yeah.
Me too.
It was really funny to me, though, because, like, if I were in that situation, hell, if I could remember something from 7 years ago that specific, hell no.
No, I can't remember things from 7 hours ago.
Hell no. But maybe she read Anastasia by Sophie Lark, so she, like, could remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are moments that stick out in your memory, and I feel like meeting the mystic and have him, like, blowing a bunch of fucking pipe smoke around you in a crowded room and being like, hey, this is your future. It might go into core memory. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. Which magical power in this book would you like to have the most? Mine would be, I think it was Maria that could grow plants with touch.
I mean, in today's America, being able to heal oneself, never go to the doctor again, never get a surprise $500 medical bill, just take care of it.
That's the real fantasy. Myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The being able to hear everything all the time seems like it would be really useful.
Oh, I'd hate it.
Especially when she took that herb.
Yeah.
And she could, like, see the musical notes. I was like, ah, best trip ever.
Oops, that's mushrooms, yeah. Actually. I just feel like I would be hearing everyone chew, though. Thank you.
No. Like the episode where I was munching on French fries.
A lot of song dropping.
Sophie Lark does that. I'm curious about your thoughts.
I like that there's a Halsey song. I thought that was really funny. And then there's another song by, I'm guessing this is pronounced Nike Heaton, N-I-Y-K-E-E. And it just sounded like Halsey, but autotune. Like, they have a Hozier song in here, so, like, it's pretty modern. Let's see, we got Dreams by the Cranberries. And I said, oh, hell yeah.
And that was fitting, because that was for the ball, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there was The Chain by Fleetwood Mac for the battle scene, and I said, LaMau, hell yeah. And finally, the last one being Once Upon a December, which is, of course, from the movie Anastasia, which was great because I had that stuck in my head the entire fucking time I was reading the book.
It's a lot of repeats of the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long book.
It's the music box song in the movie. So anytime she used the Memory Keeper, aww, I would think of that song. And that's like 50-11 times.
The Memory Keeper.
Sounds dope as
it
hell.
It was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is so a brilliant,
beautiful
piece of,
I remember it was like a little music box with stars and moons
you
on it.
Blow into it.
Yeah, you blow into it with your magic breath.
What book are we discussing again? She passed me the music box. Its mechanical innards made it heavier than it looked. The metal lid and sides were perforated with tiny mountains, stars, and moons. I couldn't see how to wind it. Like this, Grandma Minnie said. She lifted the music box to her mouth and exhaled, letting her breath flow inside. The little box began to glow, golden light spilling through the lid and sides, beaming out in all directions, projecting the shape of the pine trees, stars, clouds, and crescent moon onto the walls and ceiling all around us. The projection rotated slowly, tinkling music playing. It was beautiful, utterly beautiful. In the dimness of the shuttered portrait hall, the projection was brighter and more real than the oil paintings of my ancestors.
Does it, like, project?
Yeah.
Light,
yes.
And whatever memory you had it record, and it records a whole day, right?
Yes, but it will only show you parts of the memory,
right? Like, and the good parts, I guess.
It can be different parts every time,
right?
Because when she goes back in time,
right,
and she replays it, it's the same memory but different parts.
Yes, so that sounds cool as fuck. I would like that just for, like, regular things. Like, I would be recording over it all the time because I would be like, okay, here's me going to the grocery store. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to record that. And then next time I'm going to get the same stuff. So I'm just going to play this.
Oh my God.
Because I don't remember what I got.
This is how you know Anastasia doesn't have ADHD.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the Kroger app will tell you what you bought.
Well, you can look at past orders.
Mm-hmm. Shit. I know.
In An Unexpected Gift, chapter 2, I believe. The unexpected gift is Artemis. Artemis was cool. Just want to put that out there.
The Falcon.
She was one of the best characters. Yeah.
Yes. Smartass.
Mm-hmm. Especially in the beginning where she was just like, hungry. And she was like, can you talk? Can I hear you? And she was like, not talking anymore.
You don't deserve my words. Yeah.
Hungry.
Me, though.
Also, like, what a dumb power. I can't talk to birds. I can talk to
a bird.
This one bird.
I can understand this one bird.
This one bird. That's it.
Brilliant bird.
And her fucking family's like, that's the one you're going to show. Women's powers are ornamental.
Yeah.
God. Perhaps I shouldn't have staked my entire magical reputation on a consummate murderer who disliked crowds and being told what to do. Her magic reveal, which turns into a total disaster, by the way, because she impulsively says, like, wait, I can time walk, because she's the only one in her family who can. Mm-hmm. And it's really supposed to be her brother who can, but, well,
He's a weak little boy.
Yeah. She's fated to take over Russia, obviously. And then she's like, I can time walk. I'll do the same thing my dad did at his reveal
But
party.
I'll do it better.
I'll do it better.
Even though I haven't learned. Yeah.
This is fine. I got my future husband in the audience, and he's going to give me power, which he does. And then clumsy bitch strips over her skirts and
drops all the Fabergé eggs.
All of them. Breaks everyone. And then everyone's real mad at her. Oh, that was heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she did just waste a lot of resources.
I mean, we could argue that buying a bunch of Fabergé eggs is also wasting a bunch of money.
That's true. Problem number one.
That was the initial waste.
What are you making, Fabergé omelets?
Mm-hmm. They're delicious and crunchy. Okay. I did mostly quite enjoy the illustrations, but one of the pictures makes her butt look like it is an actual watermelon.
that Pixar butt.
Uh-huh.
All right.
The most mega badonkadonk to ever badonk.
Dang, there were color?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My Kindle's in black and white, so.
Oh, well.
I much like Singing in the Rain.
Right.
Uh-huh. I only saw the pictures in black and white.
Yeah, I wish I could have saved them or like highlighted them like notes, because there were some that I did want to go back to. Not even the sexy ones, really, because there were a couple like they're naked and embracing. There was one where she had written the letter to Damien when she realized Rasputin is a vampire. Mm-hmm. And Damien wrote back like, you got to get him out. He's dangerous. It might already be too late. And like the picture is her like reading the letter in anguish. And I don't know why, but I was just like,
yeah, it was like very extreme. Like she had tears running down her face
very
or something.
Very extreme emotions in these pictures.
Also, I want to say in that scene, generally, I was fine with the language being modern in this historical piece. Mm-hmm. But when David was like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. I was like, that she was like, what the fuck am I doing? And that was the one that I was like, wait a minute. You're a princess.
You wouldn't be saying that.
I think I felt the worst for Nina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one who accused Rasputin of raping her, got kicked out of the palace, and then just died.
Died
of influenza? What was it?
Yeah, the Spanish flu.
The Spanish flu. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shit, Nina, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Although Sylvie didn't have a good time of it either.
How does she die?
In front of the train.
Oh, right. Yes.
Rasputin induced her to suicide.
I loved that because I have read Anna Karenina within the last year or so. So I was like, yes. But also when she was reading Sylvie's copy of it, she was like, I was like turning pages faster and faster. I was trying to finish the story before dinner. And I was like, that audiobook is 37 hours long.
Listen, Russian literature.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you're not going to finish it before dinner.
Oh, yeah, fair.
No, it just got long in translation. If you read it in the original Russian, it's just
like
an hour-long romp.
God, I wish anything in Russian literature was a romp.
A lot of talk about balls in this book, but like,
oh,
like dancing balls.
Party balls.
Gotcha. Right. So like, I'm 12 and have highlighted on the same page, my sisters had gone so mad for balls. And apparently balls were like mushrooms because now they were popping up everywhere.
Jesus Christ.
But other than that, I took it totally seriously.
Totally, 100% seriously.
Man, I did love the description of the outfits, especially when she went to some ball dressed as a royal falconer.
Yeah.
Yo! Hell yes.
Well, and also all the conversations about the costumes to that ball, because Damien wore the, like, last Cossack who'd been there, because that was the only outfit they had in there. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the Tsar dressed as the one who killed that Cossack.
Yeah.
Like, and they had this like awkward conversation. Ooh. Like, hey man, sorry about trying to kill you. But of course he wouldn't say that.
Nice duds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dud. And like her mom wanted her to dress as a nurse for the costume party.
What? And she wanted to dress as Catherine the Great. I was like,
yeah. Right. Yes. I guess that was a different, that was two chapters earlier. Yes. Okay. So there's a lot of balls in this book. Mm-hmm. A lot of balls.
A lot of balls.
she's constantly building tension before the ball and everything happens in very subtle, well foreshadowed ways. But like, I had the strangest presentiment that I might only ever record one memory. And you're like, I don't know why, but I'm more tense now.
And what a memory it was. Is there something faulty about the memory keeper in that it did show her part of the massacre? I guess it was to show her that Damien looked mournful.
Yeah, that he looked back. That was really important.
It was important,
that
but was
before
it?
Before the massacre, so
true.
Right around
he did leave
midnight.
Before.
Yeah,
that when he left.
Yeah,
and so it stopped recording.
And then it was like 2 a.m.
Yeah,
yeah. She assumes that it's something the memory keeper thought she needed to see because it changes her actions.
Mm-hmm.
That he looked back, she's like, "Oh, he still loves me." I want to say that I much preferred the really horrific vampire ball scene to them getting stabbed with muskets in the middle of nowhere after like a month of being imprisoned in a functionally a log cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. For all that it was gory and scary, it was also really intriguing.
Yeah, and
really,
even though
well-written
I knew
scene.
Vaguely what was coming, that still was like a shocking scene.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Caught me by complete surprise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just the way it was described how each of those family members were killed was just like, no, not Maria, not Tatiana.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I just thought of this, but I'm interested in a Walter White theory of this book in which Anastasia actually dies during the ball. And all of the rest of it is just
Damien's fantasy.
Yeah, some fucking fan sub thing.
Ooh. I dig.
Yeah.
I also liked the strange thing about fear is that it has no stamina. You can't live in a constant state of vigilance and paranoia. Without tangible reminders of the danger hanging over your head, life intrudes with all its daily demands, its pleasures, its interests. Just right after the massacre, but like a little time had passed and she's like, all right, I have to like live my life at least a little bit. Yeah, the whole time she was in the factory, I was like, oh, I work in a factory, but thanks, unions.
Yeah.
It's not that bad anymore, at least.
Or is it?
Well, there aren't children there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey.
Yay.
You weren't getting pulled to work in the mines.
Mm-hmm. Her PTSD is palpable.
Oh, God.
It is.
It's rough.
Especially when she's in the mines and uses the little bit of the magic rock to like try to get some more life in her.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, man. Communism, but also capitalism. Yeah. Drain it out of you.
Right.
Yeah. Also, at the end, Anastasia as a ruler. Let's discuss.
A little too fantasy dreamland. Although it got me thinking, like, what if the czarist regime had never ended? What would the world be like today if there were still a czar?
Is there a such thing as a good czar? Like
a good
person.
Dictator?
Yeah. Because I guess she did delegate to the Duma.
Yeah.
The parliament.
But she is still kind of steeped.
Right.
Yeah.
She had two miserable years to.
Can it be reformed?
Yeah, that's the question.
And or does it just have to be abolished?
In my reread this afternoon, there was talk about like when they went into the mountain, it was like a sacred place for the native people around there. And they're like, this piece of stone was on their altar. And they just like fucking took it. And again, this is before her whole having to be in the mines and having to be a seamstress.
Clothing dye.
Like a textile factory, I think.
Yeah,
like, well, so, no, she didn't. That's the whole thing.
Right. Yeah. Or she did. Or she did.
Oh.
Or she did. She died in the mines, and what happens after that is the fantasy.
Dude, I would have fucking died immediately in those mines.
No shit. Yeah. But also the ballerina, also a real person.
Yeah.
That was so hard.
It was.
And then her being like, get my costume ready before she dies.
I'm coming, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Anna, no. Anyway, so I do wonder how much a czarina being a dictator is American propaganda, right? There have been good kings and queens, therefore there could be a good czarina or czar.
Yeah, her experience in her mind in the past of suffering might help her become a better leader.
Plus it's also fiction, so yeah. It's a literal fantasy, so
listen, I have this shovel and I'm a dig.
Gone, girl.
Well, it's not like our relationship with Russia is great, so in terms of like an American perspective, I don't think it would be remarkably different.
Yeah,
true. Yeah,
it's really a question of what would have been best for the Russian people, and I'm not sure how well you can make the case that what actually happened was for the best.
It was pretty bad there. It was bad before the revolution.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kind of
after too.
Yeah.
Yeah. A princess coming to power would not have fixed everything with a magic wand. Putin would still be in power today. He would have found a way.
Did you say Putin or Rasputin?
Putin.
Yes. Oh, okay.
What if Putin is Rasputin reincarnated?
We don't know that they actually killed Rasputin.
We don't
do we?
Know.
Did they actually like confirm it IRL?
Yes.
Like he's dead.
I'm sorry. Yes, they did.
Okay. Well, because I know it took like seven tries.
It did take a lot of tries, but they did in fact confirm. Which is why his dick may or may not be in a museum now.
Mm.
Or maybe he survived it and now he's just wandering around dickless.
I don't think he would want to stay alive.
No,
if he were dickless.
Really the source of his power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he regrew it like a starfish.
Oh. Bigger and better than ever.
No.
I've got enough mystic powers. Anything is possible. Miss Dick powers.
Dick! They wrote that his penis was the size of a stallion's, that he used it to bewitch my mother. So there you go.
Thanks, Russian media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Press knows best.
Mm-hmm. Were they really writing stuff like that in 1919? Or whenever this is supposed to take place?
I think they were just drawing lewd comics.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah.
But it was definitely in the press somehow. Going back in time, it was all very complicated. I was actually worried that neither of you would finish it. And I would be the one person with this knowledge and have to try to explain. I was like, shit. But going back in time and engaging with him and her having the realization of, like, this is a different person than the person that I've been with for the past year, because he doesn't love me as much as that person. Like, it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, because you're 2 years ahead of him. That's, yeah, I liked that a lot.
And going back to the moment where he wanted to leave you and was furious with you.
Yeah.
So let's discuss Damien, because he's not a historical figure, as far as I know.
I guess not. I didn't actually look him up.
I don't think he is. I mean, in the movie, it was Dmitri, but I don't think he was real either.
Right.
Maybe. Maybe they did have a ward, but the whole family died, so he wasn't involved with Anastasia.
Right.
Kind of thing. I don't know. Let us know in the comments.
I liked a glimpse of another culture within Russian society that's not just the palace and the people in power. It was cool to see a bit of perspective of the Cossacks. I'm not sure how faithfully historical a representation it was, but it was still cool to see a different culture.
I looked up their clothing.
Yeah?
Looks good. You know that internet theory that like the plains people always dress the best in any culture?
Yeah.
Yeah, they look badass, it's true.
Now I'm looking it up.
Okay. They had some gorgeous horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was picturing.
Killian, you want to describe?
We got some fur hats, got a cape. Yeah, like it's the fur hat that you think of when someone says a Russian. The sides of their heads are shaved and the top of their hair is long. Got some high-waisted pants here. What's up? Like high-waisted, baggy, like kind of genie pants.
No, okay, not denim. Genie as in.
Right, I'm sorry, yes.
Magic lamp.
With a
okay.
G. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lots of capes. Hell yeah.
It's cold in Russia. You need to whip them dramatically.
And then there's a guy that looks like he's in a Party City costume. Okay. But yeah, they look like warriors.
So Damien's magic is that his skin takes the life out of anything he touches. So his major baggage in life is that he killed his mother in utero because, of course, his skin was lethal. And has never touched another human being up in his life. That made him interesting.
It was also a really interesting fetishization that she does of his hands. Yeah. Because she never sees his hands because they're always gloved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes him hot.
Yeah. Like she's like, I was picturing him taking off his gloves to write a letter to me. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh babe.
Oh, swoon, swoon.
So I didn't 100% understand the significance of the king wolf.
I kept wanting them to turn the king wolf and like befriend it.
Yeah,
that was not how it shook out.
No.
Wolves are, I guess, just like vampires, straight up evil. I guess wolves also straight up evil.
Well, they kind of helped at the end, right? Didn't they arrive at the final fight like the eagles in Lord of the Rings?
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
I think
that happened.
I'm not remembering
that. It was a long
book.
Yes, I only finished it 2 days ago, but
I just remember them killing the king wolf, and then the rest of the wolves kind of went away, but they were there to fight on the vampire side.
Oh, were they there to fight on the vampire side?
I thought so. That was my take.
Okay, well, apparently the last things that I highlighted were the sex scene, so.
I mean, because I didn't highlight those for some reason.
Yeah, remind us of the hot actual sex scenes. Did they do, I can't remember
they
if they did
it. They had twice.
Only twice?
I think only twice.
Yeah, I think only twice.
Hey, did we solve, what the fuck happened with the wolves at the end? Please, I need an answer. I just looked at the scrying part. And she's like, Lupus is Rasputin. Baba nodded. And I'm Centaurus. That meant Anastasia was the phoenix. And I'm like, what are we doing? I thought when they first heard about it, I was like, oh, there's going to be a thing. She'd have to choose between like her love, which is Damien. We didn't know that yet. And the King Wolf. What's going to happen? Oh, this is going to be great.
Now, wouldn't he be the phoenix, though? Because he died and came back to life, technically.
I didn't write this.
Well, I know.
Get off my dick, Killian.
Oh, my God. I was okay. Just confused about that.
I found something. From my quick skim, it looks like they appear at the same time as the monsters. No one could match the horsemanship of the Cossacks, but the vampires rode fast as wraiths, and they had no care for their horses. They rode their mounts straight into the Cossacks and leapt from their saddles, bearing the braves to the ground and tearing out their throats. The monsters could see in the dark. They were stronger than men, many times stronger. The Cossacks began to fall. A high howl split the night, then many more. Wolves came swarming out of the frost forest, hundreds of them, with the great pale King Wolf at their head. The werewolves in the battle set up a wild baying. The timber wolves howled in response. The King Wolf let out a roar that seemed to shake the mountain. The beasts leapt on the Cossack horses, ripping, tearing, dragging them down. So they seem very much to have joined.
Yeah, totally.
The vampire.
Man. I mean, I guess they did spend a large percentage of the book killing wolves, so...
Mm-hmm. Wolves hate Cossacks.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
And also, Nikolai.
Mm-hmm.
Because he kills a lot of wolves. Him and his two dogs.
Oh, wait, Nikolasha?
Yeah.
The uncle?
Yes, mm-hmm. Nikolasha.
Mm-hmm. I liked him.
Me too. Yeah. Except, kept killing wolves.
Well, yeah, but sometimes can't help it.
Okay, I'm going to read the first kiss.
Yeah. Yes. Hey, as long as it's hot.
Anastasia pelted across a field of purple sage, her mare's hooves churning up a mist of lavender that floated in the air behind her. She leapt down and began to run. I did the same. We bent in the middle of the field in an ocean of purple with papery white butterflies fluttering all around us. She ran to me, her whole face illuminated with a wild happiness that caught me like a whirlwind, so I swept her up in my arms and swung her around. I forgot about my men and the guard right behind her. I even forgot who she was and what I could do. All I knew was that I'd never been happier to see someone, and there was no way to show her that but to kiss her like I'd never let her go. Our mouths met, her lips warm from the sun. I tasted her, and all the world stopped around us. Her mare froze mid-step in a cloud of violet specks that hung suspended in the air. Artemis paused as she swooped downward, her body long and straight and bullet-like. The guard, who I now recognized as Kola Derevenko, had just caught up to Anastasia, his mouth petrified in a comic position of slow motion surprise. All the world stopped except us. We were bound together in its center, still spinning like two figures in a music box, locked in each other's arms. Bits of golden light burned in her hair like embers, her freckles sparks on her skin. Her eyes looked into mine, blue-green as a warm summer sea. I kissed her, and our mouths opened, her tongue passing over mine. Her breath went into my lungs, and our souls overlaid like two transparent images. She was me, and I was her. And we were one together, something that held all the world in its grip, stealing this moment for us alone. Then I realized I'd been holding her, kissing her, pressing her against me for longer than I touched anyone before, and I let go, afraid that I'd hurt her.
And I've just realized, in hearing you reread that, in the rewrite of time, that doesn't happen.
Aww.
They don't get that kiss.
Wait, wouldn't they? Because it wasn't... It was before
No,
that?
No, because she lands back in time before he
oh,
gets there.
Oh, right.
Tells the family, and then the first time she sees him, she rides out to his camp, mm-hmm. and he's already heard the news of his father.
Mm.
And then she's got to do that dance.
That fire dance.
Fire dance.
Very impressive fire dance.
I imagined it like Midsommar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was thinking of that too.
It's like that plus mosh pit.
Yeah.
Or like when he's each like, other.
You can't learn the steps. You got to feel them. And she's like, that doesn't even make sense.
That doesn't help me.
And I love that she cheats the first time she wins. Like, yeah, get it, girl.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah, I wonder if the music box keeps that memory. Because she doesn't record over that memory again, as far as we know, even though that day that she recorded never happened. But it does travel with her in time to show that, because she shows it to the family, and her grandmother's like, yeah, that happened.
Yeah, like this only records things that actually happened. Yeah.
Oh, so maybe she got to show Damien after all.
Maybe.
Yeah. There's a lot of implications. A lot of...
I feel like he would have, like,
complications.
Male disinterest in it. Like, oh, yeah, it's nice, sweetie.
In a romance novel? Are you kidding me?
He would never.
I loved when they were living together on the plains.
Yeah.
I know. Like, it was so just beautiful, heartwarming.
She wanted to give that up to go be in politics.
I know, right?
Mm.
Well, one of the core themes of this book is, like, she is for the people. Like, she truly believes that the Russian people are her responsibility and is willing to sacrifice herself completely in order to ensure that they are better off. Which, I guess, if you're looking for a ruler, that's a pretty good quality.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's also a product of her drinking the Kool-Aid.
With vodka.
Final thoughts?
I rated this... Don Bluth is jerking off in his grave.
Oh, wait, Don Bluth's still alive?
Oh, shit.
Wow, Killian. You just killed him.
Congratulations.
Oh, no. Uh-huh, it's all on you.
I rated this. Man, vampire communism sucks.
Truer words were never spoken. I would have to say, Tsarina gets the wiener.
Jesus Christ.
Next week, we're reading Squeak and Squeal, two different books by Vera Valentine. DikTok stars Karina McGeehan, Killian Ross, and Emily Shirley. It's edited by Karina McGeehan, produced and bartended by Derek Adams, and recorded at Shadow Public Radio.